I'll start out by reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against the day, that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. This you know, that all they which are in Asia are turned away from me, of whom are Philegius and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, because for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, you know very well. Now, can anybody tell me what this is all about?
Encouragement.
It's again about encouragement, but it's about something else. He's writing this encouragement to Timothy, and who would Timothy be? It's you. Okay, it's you. You got to realize that this book is not just written to those ancient characters of old days back there. This is something that's came to you as a son of God. Okay? He's encouraging him to do some things, and he's revealing some truths in here that I want to deal with today as we talk about it. So we'll go back to the first verse and start there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by or through the choice of God. The word will is choice, or it's God's purpose or plan. Paul wasn't planning on being an apostle, was he? He was very content to be a Pharisee. He felt he was an elite a Pharisee. He was doing a great job out killing Christians in the name of God. And he was very well satisfied with that position. He thought he was doing a good thing, and he was. It just wasn't a God thing. So guess what? God chose him according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So where is life?
In Christ.
It's in Christ. Okay. There's no life outside of Christ. In our physical body, it's death. We live in this body, but this body has a destination. Tell me what it is. It's to die. The purpose of this body is to come and live for a certain period of time and die and go back to the dust from where it came. Okay, it goes back to the dust from where it came, correct? We live in a realm that's called the death realm. Everything in this realm does what?
Dies.
It dies. So, you know, we don't have to worry about trying to preserve life, because life is not in this realm. This is a death realm. The only realm that life is in the spirit realm, correct? So all we have to do is realize where the spirit realm is, and that's within each and every one of us, within our inner being, okay? That spirit is within our bodies. God doesn't dwell in our bodies. He dwells in our spirit, inside of this body, And he says, when he first of all tells what he is in the first verse, and by whose choice he's there, it's God's choice. He said in the second verse, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, he said, grace. Paul was very fluent in this word grace. He used it very, very much in his writings. Why did he use it? Because he understood it. In some of the writings it says, Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom little is given, little is required. Paul realized what he had done through his life, and he'd been forgiven of much, hadn't he? So guess what? He understood if he received much grace, he needed to give much grace. Right? And we've all received grace in great bounty. He says grace and mercy, or compassion and peace. And he's telling you, grace, mercy, and peace comes from one place. Where does it come from? From God. Through Christ, but from God. The Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says, I thank God. Do you really think that's what it says? What the language really says, because there's a couple words here that they're making into different the wrong things. It should say, the grace of God holds me. When you go through the Greek and scramble, the grace of God holds me, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. He said, since my forefathers, I'm serving God with a clear conscience because the grace of God holds him. Paul very well knows what grace is about. And he knows the grace, that divine influence in his heart and a reflection of that out into his life is what's keeping him in order. Paul knew what he did before, didn't he? See, no one knows what you did any more than you. Correct? So you understand when God takes a hold of you and gives you grace and mercy, and you see that reflection in your life, you know, not just internal, but you see it external, you realize how much God has dealt with you in His mercy and grace. How could you not give that to someone else? See, I don't understand how you could not do it. But people who never receive the grace because they think they did it by going to the front of a church and slobbering on a board, you know, or crying and saying, I'm sorry, or getting dunked in the water, or eating a piece of cracker, or drinking a little bit of grape juice or something. Those things don't save you. Speaking in tongues don't save you. The only thing that saved you was Him dying on a tree and you realizing it. That's what saved you. It saved the whole world, didn't it? So we don't have to worry about these things to do anything about it. But He said He did with a pure conscience, without ceasing, I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Now the word prayer, you know, I've dealt with before, and you go look at this word, proskuneo, I think is the word, and it talks about worship. In my time of worship, and see, prayer is not just a wish list that you ask from God, but it's a time of communing back and forth, of worshiping God. God desires our worship, is that true? More than just a conversation. He's not worried about a conversation. He wants us to have an inner communication with Him, and that in a form of a worship of Him, but respect and honor and love to Him. And you see, I can't honor God and love God, worship God, respect God without respecting you and loving you and honoring you, can I?
No, because we're all part of it.
Because we're all a piece of this thing. And I can't say, oh, I love the head, but I don't like the feet. Because the feet's as necessary as the head, aren't they? We have to realize that everything has a purpose, and we can't reject that. He said in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And cross out the word may. It's added. You know that, right? Take out the word may. Let me read it again. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. He said, hey man, I know you want to see me. I know you want to. We want to see each other. I'm reminded of it all the time. I'm reminded by the tears when we left each other, how bad you didn't want to separate. There's people that I'm around when I know I'm going to leave them for a while. A lot of times I'll have tears in my eyes. I can't help it because I care about the people and I like to be around them. And there's other people that's the same way with you people, right? And that's not a bad thing. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, or literally the sincere, Now, the word faith is really misused many times in the scriptures and translations. And it really says here that when I call to remembrance the sincere truth of God that is in you. The word faith here should be the truth of God. So Paul says, when I recall to my memory how much truth of God is in you, that sincere truth of God, that's what he's saying, the sincere truth of God, which dwelt first in your grandmother, right? The Greek word for that's mammy. Lois, anybody know what that means? Agreeable. She's agreeable. And your mother Eunice, which means victorious. And I am persuaded it's in you also, when he talks about the sincere truth that was in his grandmother and in your mother, Eunice, and in you also. It's in his whole family, see? All those members of his family, not every member, but those ones specifically named were in the ones called, weren't they? They had sincere truth in them, and not sincere temporary truth, but the sincere eternal truth. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up, or literally rekindle, that's what it should say, the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Now, I know that's the way they express something, and I know by laying on of hands there was things done, but there were a lot of shadows and types in that. Okay? It's just God and God meeting. Deep calling unto the deep within you. I don't think Paul actually put something in Timothy. I think he stirred something up in Timothy when he laid his hands on him. Because when Adam was created, the very first man, he was formed from the dust of the earth, and God breathed his breath, his spirit into him. Are you with me? So if that first seed was created that way, every seed like that, every seed came from him, and it has to be the same kind of seed. It has to be made the same way, because seed produces like kind. So I don't believe the laying on of hands literally puts something into you. That's a way of somebody expressing it. But I don't believe that for 1 minute, because he said he pours out his spirit without measure upon his sons. If he pours his spirit in you, guess what? Have you got anything less than anyone else? It's just he brings forth the gift that he desires. And it says in Corinthians, he gives gifts severally as he wills. If God wants you to work in a particular gift and you have the Spirit of God in you, what can you work in? Anything he wants you to work in. See? But you have to have the confidence and faith to walk in that. If I don't believe, if I think only preachers have the ability to do things for God, do you think I'm ever going to accomplish anything? Because I'm always going to be waiting on some preacher to come down the pike to do something for me. I'm not going to be able to talk to my Father directly, because I have to think I have to talk through a mediator. Well, the mediator was Christ, wasn't it? And if Christ is in you, then what's the problem? How come you don't think you've got a hookup here? If you got Christ, you've got the modem to get through, haven't you? See, all you have to do is hook into it, it's there. All you've got to do is unite with that modem that's within you, the Christ, and you've got a direct hotline to the throne of God. It's that simple. I know people struggle at it. It's not an easy thing. It takes time. You have to work at this thing. I mean, you have to work and work and work and prepare yourself to receive all the things that's within you. They're already in there, but it takes time to build your confidence in your mind that you can function in all this stuff. That's all. You just continue on. Do the best you can do. Don't worry about where you're at. And so many people want to measure themselves. Where are you? Where am I? They want you to measure them, or somebody else to measure me where I am. It's not about measuring you. The only thing you're measured to is God. That's it. And we all would fall short of it in our own understanding, wouldn't we? Just let yourself be where God has wanted you to be. That's all you got to do. Just let God take you where he wants you to go. And you don't have to ask me where you should go, because I'm not the bus driver, see? I'm on the bus just like you are, waiting on him. Whenever he wants it, he's got it. Verse 7, he goes on to say, he said in verse 6, I put you in remembrance that you stir up or rekindle the gift of God which is in you by the putting on my hands. Verse 7 says, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, you know what that spirit of fear literally says? It's the soulishness, okay? It's about soulishness. Does that make sense to you? He said, I'm not giving you a spirit of soulishness. What is he giving you? A spirit of love. The Spirit of God, which covers everything. But the word right there is soulish. He said, I've not given you the spirit of soulish fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now this word for sound mind here literally means, and it should say, a spirit of fear has not given you the soulish fear, but of power and love and discipline or self-control. I can tell you this, discipline in someone's life means you don't have all this crazy stuff going on. If you're disciplined, if you have self-control, you won't have anything, any problem like that. You'll have problems, but they won't affect you like they do most other people, because you don't let your emotions go to the ceiling and then fall to the floor, do you? It's at high and low, like someone with sugar. When your sugar's real high, you get messed up, and then when you fall to the bottom, you're messed up worse, ain't you? I mean, man, it's a terrible feeling. I've never had it, but I know people share with me, it's a terrible feeling when you get your sugar out of a balance, like it, when you spike high and then spike low. Lois's mother used to do that, and it's a terrible feeling. She eventually died from it, you know, because she got into a coma and no one there to help her, and she went on. So it's a terrible, terrible place to be, and we do the same thing. And he's trying to say, Timothy, don't pay attention to your emotions. Don't worry about going to the pit. Don't worry about your emotions getting high in fear, but work in this sound, well-disciplined mind that God has given us. A well-disciplined mind is what God's given us, okay? With a lot of self-control. He said, therefore, you don't need to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Hear what he said? He didn't say, you be a partaker of this gospel according to the power of Paul, did he? He said, man, this ain't about me, it's about God. And you draw your power from God, not from Paul. And I'll say the same thing. You don't draw it from Dave, you draw it from you.
Which goes back to that sound mind, that's the mind of Christ.
Absolutely, the sound mind is the mind of Christ. You got that mind in you. And Paul, even in one of his writings, said, we have the mind of Christ. Okay? If we have the mind of Christ, where should we be drawing this from? From within ourselves, okay? Not in the flesh, but by spirit. And look what it says in verse 9. Who has saved us, and the word saved here is delivered, who has delivered us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Boy, I wish the world would get a hold of that one. And when I say world, I'm talking about the church world. The world knows better, the church don't know better. The church still thinks they got to work and earn their way. And Ephesians says, we're saved by grace through faith, and this is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So why do these people still fall in the trap of having to work? Right? We don't need the work. But James said, you know, if you show me your faith because of your works, then I'll show you my faith through my works. I'll do my works because of the faith I have in God. My works will not produce faith in me. I can work till my fingers are raw, but that doesn't produce faith in me. I will do the works because of the faith that is in me. Okay? The treasures that God has in us. But according to whose purpose? Now this word I think is a neat word. It literally is the word prothesis.
Which word are you talking about?
Purpose? Purpose, yes. Prothesis. And it means showbread. One of the meanings of it is showbread. Not according to our works, but according to His own plan. And are we not called to be the examples to the world? Are we not to be a light unto the world? So this word literally is translated showbread, like the 12 loaves that were set in the temple under the Old Testament. And that was to be an example. So guess who the showbread is? First fruit. See? That's all. And grace, to His own purpose and His grace, right? His divine influence on us and a reflection in our lives, which was given to us in Christ before what? Before time. It says before the world began, but it should say it's the word chronos, which means time. Okay? So before time, it was given to us. Before time in this world, the way we know it, He gave that to us, didn't He? Verse 10, but is now made apparent by the appearing of our, not Savior, but our Deliverer, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Now, hang on a minute. The church will say, no, he hasn't, because people die every day. He's talking about spiritual. There's no way you can ever die in spirit. He abolished that. You can never be separated from God. Only in your mind you think you can. He abolished death. Now, what is death?
Carnal mind.
There you go. He abolished the carnal way of thinking. Proverbs says in a couple places, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way therein thereof is death. Correct? So he took care of that carnal way of thinking. He took care of that deathly type of thinking, the stuff that brings death upon us, okay? And has brought life and immortality. What does immortality mean? Literally, the word immortality here is incorruption. He brought life and incorruption. Corruption represents dying, okay? But we're not talking about, we're talking about a decay. It's a decaying. He brought life and no corruption in it. So my life will never decay. Didn't he say I'm alive forevermore? I'm trying to show you there's a pattern here that when Christ comes alive in you, it can't go away. See, because that's God himself living within you. That can't go anywhere, can it? The flesh can die. The flesh can do all kinds of stupid things. Just because I'm a man of God doesn't mean I can't be stupid in the flesh. Come on, flesh is stupid. Isn't it? See, I can do stupid things, but that doesn't mean I'm not a son of God. And everybody tries to relate your actions doing some stupid thing and say, well, you couldn't be a son of God. Well, we're all children of the Most High God. How do you deny that?
See? Prejudice comes in.
It's where they want to be. That's where Bertha and Bob better than you come in. They think you're all better.
That light, illumination, a little bit of illumination that you can't be darkened in.
Well, he's saying he brought the incorruption to light. In other words, you now realize you can't be. See, until that light from God comes upon things in our life, when he shines a light on something and you get illuminated in it, I'm going to tell you, nobody can take that away from you anymore, can they? It's yours. See, that's how Paul could say, this is my gospel. He said it right here in this chapter, didn't he? According to my gospel. He wasn't bashful about saying that because the light of God shined on it in his life and he could see, hey, I'm part of this thing. And you've got to see you're part of it. As long as you think you're a stepchild or a half-brother, what are you going to feel like? You're going to act that way. You're not going to act like a son of God. You're not going to take your right place in the setting. Look at verse 11. Oh, no, we according to the light brought through the gospel. And see, the gospel that people preach today is not the gospel that was preached in Paul's day or in Jesus' day, because Jesus preached a reconciliation message. That's his purpose of coming, to reconcile God and man. That was his purpose. Not a few of them, but all of them. That's what his parables in Luke 15, that whole lost and found chapter, was showing you. Man, I'm not missing one of them. I'm not going to give up one of my 100 sheep. I'm not going to give up one of my 10 coins, and I'm not going to give up one of my sons, even though he was lost and eaten in the pig pen. I'm still going to love him and bring him back. Now, if that ain't a message of reconciliation, what in the God's name could it be? So you'd have to hire somebody to help you misunderstand it, and most people have. That's okay. But the good news is God's going to get them all in his time and in every man in his own order, according to the book, right? Okay, verse 11. To which I am appointed a preacher. He's appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. He didn't say he chose it, did he? There's a whole bunch of people that want to be preachers. I'm going to tell you, I ran like a scalded dog as long as I could. I tried to get away from it. I left churches. I went hundreds of miles away and sat in church. I'll go over here where nobody knows me. And I don't care where I went, I got picked out. God wouldn't leave me alone. And Lois said, what are you going to do now? And I said, do what I'm supposed to do, I guess. I can't get away from it. So now I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm comfortable at it. I feel great where I'm at. I don't have to belong to an organization. I don't have to have somebody pat me on the back saying, Dave, you're doing a good job. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's all it's about in your life. You need to find out what God wants for you and do what God wants. Don't care what anybody else says. Do what's right for you. That's all there is to it. If you do what's right in your heart, you'll come to peace with what you're doing. And guess what? It'll be okay. You won't have to worry about, will the preacher approve what I do? I don't care what the preachers think. If you care what somebody outside of you thinks, you're missing the point, because you don't belong to them. You belong to God. He bought you for a price, didn't he? You're not your own. Verse 12 says, "For which cause I also suffer these things." Paul's talking about his chains and being locked up and bound and thrown in prison, beaten, all those things. He said, "I was called there." And for which cause, he said, that's the reason I'm suffering these things. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep or preserve that which I have committed to him against the day." Okay? He said, God's going to take care of what needs to be done. I don't have to worry about it. That makes sense? Don't have to worry about what God does, do you? He'll take care of it. And he's telling Timothy, hold fast what? The form of sound words. Literally the word form there is a pattern or example. He said, hold fast the pattern or the example of sound words. And that word there for word is logos, which is the spiritual word. He said, hold fast that pattern or example of sound spiritual words which you have heard from me. In what? In the truth of God. In the truthfulness of God. He said, hold that, right? Hold fast in the truthfulness of God and love which is in Christ Jesus. The truthfulness of God. I mean, the truth of God, I mean, what else could there be? I mean, that's it. The truth of God, there's nothing else besides the truth of God. Nothing else has any life involved in it, does it? Nothing has any peace involved in it. It all comes from Him. That good thing which was committed or deposited or entrusted, is what it should say, which was deposited to you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in where? Now notice that Paul involved himself in this. He didn't say it just dwells in you. He said, the same Holy Spirit that dwells in me is dwelling in you. Okay? You got to realize that this is not about one thing, one person. It's about a many-membered body of Christ. Do we know how many members are in the body? How many cells are in your body? I don't know. There's more being added every day, aren't there? Some taken away, some added every day. The body is ever-changing. What do you think God built a body that's ever-changing? Because certain saints pass on and new ones step up to take their position to fulfill it in this time zone, okay?
Restoration.
It's called reconciliation and restoration. It's okay. It's the way God does things. He said, this you know, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, whom are Philegius and Hermogenes. And I kind of do it this way. I just say that's Phyllis and Herman. It's easier than saying those words, okay? The pronunciation is not important. The meaning is important. And literally what it talks about here, Philegius or Phyllis, speaks of being a fugitive. And Hermogenes or Herman speaks of lucky born, or being luckily born. But these two people were two he singled out to say, they turned away from me. Okay, like the rest of Asia. And he said, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. And that means bringing a prophet. Because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Here's someone that loved him, didn't care whether he's in jail or out of jail. He just still loved him and ministered to his needs. He saw Christ in him, and that's all he worried about. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. When he was in Rome, he was under guard, wasn't he? Paul wasn't allowed to run around. He was in more or less in house arrest. He said, the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy. Cross out the word may because it's not there. The Lord grant to him that he find mercy of the Lord in that day. And what day is he talking about?
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. When is that?
Now.
And in how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, you know very well. He said, you know how much he did for me. And God will take care of it. He said, if you give a drink to someone in the name of a prophet, you'd have a prophet's reward. God doesn't miss a beat. He sees everything you do. But see, it's not to try to get you to do things to earn points. It's from the he judges the thoughts and intent of your heart, of your mind. And if someone's doing something to try to get reward or points, do you think it gets anything with God? No. It's all about doing it from your heart. Unconditional. Whether you love me or if you hate me, that's just all the more I'm going to do it for you. Just to show you that God's love will overpower all the hatred in the world. And to think that one man's bitterness and hatred and rejection could outperform the love of God is absurd, isn't it? But the church world teaches it every day. You got a free will. Oh, really? I can't find the word free will in the book. I can't find it. Can't find it in shadow. Can't find it in type. Can't find it. You know why? It's not there. It's never been about your will. And Jesus said the same thing. It's not your will. It's His will. It's not my will. It's your will, Father. And we got to understand this. It's all about what Father wants. And you know, He's got a bigger picture. And I always think back about that program when I was a child that they had when I was growing up when TV was just getting started. Father Knows Best. Oh, how prophetic that is. You know, they didn't realize what they were saying. The whole world is crying out to God. They're saying things from their inner being and saying, well, I'm going to hell, but they're still crying these things out. Singing songs about the red dirt road that they were saved on. The road that Christ walked, you know. Man, there's all kinds of message of God coming out of creation, but nobody wants to hear it unless it comes from somebody in a tuxedo or a suit and tie or some kind of big robes or something. Man, creation is crying about this thing. They're all wanting relief from this burden of this life. Not just that they want to die, they want to live happy, healthy, and prosperous in the peace of God. But the church world can't give it to them. They don't have it. And Jesus' mother said this very thing. Or Jesus said it rather in John chapter 2. Said when they wanted wine, He said they have no wine. She said rather they had no wine. You know, His mother said that. They have no wine. What is wine?
Revelation.
Revelation or understanding or enlightenment about stuff. They don't have it. They're only caught up in the natural. They want that juice to drink, see. It needs to be changed. And the only way you're going to do that is fill it up to the brim. I'm done. Any questions? Rocks to throw, comments.